Let's open this morning in prayer. Oh, Father, God, we love you. Lord, we thank you for just being able to gather together in your presence this morning. Lord, I pray that you be in our midst. Clear our minds. And just, Lord, just speak to us this morning. Use your word to guide us towards your will, towards you, Lord, so that we can continue to transform, look a little bit more like you each and every day. God, we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, when I was in sports, and I'm just talking about high school sports, but when I was in high school sports, there was a hierarchy as you progressed. So freshmen were at the bottom. It's the nicest way I can put it. Well, we were at the bottom. And then as you went up, you gained a little bit more respect. Does that make sense to you? And then so as a senior, I'll always remember this. My football coach, it was double sessions. It was July. It was hot. And we didn't want to be there, but we were. And our coach, it was in between. So, you know, we had our first session, then you have lunch, and then, you know, we had a rest period before we went out again. But so it was in between sessions, and the coach said, "I need all the seniors in my office now." And it's about that time when you get this real tingle feeling and you get a lump in your throat because you're either excited or in trouble. You never know, right? Because the coach says, "Now." And so we went in there, and he sat us down. And he said, "Boys, I need you. I need you this year to help be an example for the younger people coming up. Show the juniors how to be seniors. Encourage them to show the sophomores how to do what they do. And don't pick on the freshmen." Right? He said it that way. And that kind of stuck with me because I remember I'd always heard that he kind of had a talk with seniors, but you never really know what he says until you go in there. And even, you know, just kind of coming up through the ranks, I noticed that after double sessions, coach rarely had to say anything to you because a senior had already knocked your head if you did something stupid. Right? So he kind of conditioned the seniors. He was growing them as leaders is what he did. He was trying to instill leadership. And what he did is he said, "You show the people directly under you how to do what you do, and they'll do the same thing on down." And as we look at the scriptures this morning, that's kind of what's going on. That's kind of what we'll see here in the scriptures this morning. Joshua, we're finishing up Joshua. I didn't get it all. You know, I told you before we were just going to kind of gloss over, but goodness, if we did it all, we could have spent easily a year in Joshua. But anyhow, so Joshua, he gives two final speeches. Two kind of just his last things that he wants to say to folks. We're going to be in Joshua 23 and 24 today. So if you want to open your Bible up there, that's where we're going to be. So as we pick up the text, what we're seeing here is Joshua's getting ready for his speech. Okay, he's preparing for a speech. And we'll just start with 23:1 and kind of work our way down. "After a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then, old and well advanced in years." Okay, so just my study Bible said a long time was more than 25 years. So just when it says after a long time had passed, after about 25 years or so had passed is what I want you to hear there. And Joshua was old and well advanced in years. If I do the math correctly, he'd be about 110. He was 40 when he was a spy. 45 years later, he came in. Now 25 years after that. It was pretty easy math. So it'd be about 110. Okay, 110 years old. "Well advanced in years, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, 'I am old and well advanced in years. I'm old, well advanced in years. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Great Sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will drive them out of your way. He will push them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. So he's bringing what's he say here? He's got the elders, the leaders, judges, and officials. He kind of took all of the people that were already leaders or in a leadership role. He brought them together and he says a couple of things. And I think he states the obvious. He says, I'm old. I'm old. I'm getting tired. Remember what the Lord has done. Right? And he points out to them, remember all the battles, all the victories. God has done that. He's fought for you, he says. He fought for you. So he's kind of encouraging them. And when you think back over the short amount of time you've been here on the earth, remember some of the victories God has won for you. It felt like it was for you, but it was more for him, wasn't it? Think about that. And as we progress in years, we're going to have more and more of those victories. So one day we can do what Joshua does here. We can call the people around us and say, I'm old, I'm getting tired, I'm getting a little worn out. Remember that one time when it seemed improbable, almost impossible, but God did this? Wow, that was awesome. So that's what Joshua's doing with his elders here. And then he tells them something he's been told before. Look at 6. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Why is that important? Why is that important, you think? He had to tell them, be very strong. He had to remind them, and I think when he said that, be very strong, they would immediately says, and courageous. That's what comes to my mind, be very strong and courageous. Because that's what God told them as they were right before they entered into the promised land. Joshua was always drawn back to what God has told him, and he's trying to implement that into the people as he passes it down to these elders, to these leaders, to these judges, these officials. He says, be very strong, be careful. And what's he telling them to do? Obey. Obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. He didn't have to say that. It should be implied, right? A lot of things should be implied in our lives, but still we need to say it just to kind of get it. I shouldn't have to tell my kids, don't put your hand in the fire, but I still say it because they still do it. And you know what they say? I've seen you do it. Right? I saw you grab that stick. Why can't I? And that's what Joshua is saying. Remember what you've seen. Remember what happened when we went from the left or to the right of Moses' law, of the commandments that God gave him. Do you remember walking around for 40 years? Be very strong and careful. Obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without a turning aside or right or left. And he goes on, he says, do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. And this one is very, very important because every time the Israelites travel somewhere and they meet a new people group, they meet a new culture, a couple things happen. The boys will see pretty girls and they will go and court them. And then those pretty girls will teach those boys about... Yes, I'm blaming it all on girls right now. Those pretty girls will teach those boys about their gods, the gods of their fathers, right? Which isn't our God, which isn't Yahweh. And to make the girl happy, the boy would probably bow down to this god in some form or fashion. And so they've seen it before, it's happened before, they've gone astray before, and he says, don't do that. Don't do that. You're to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. This is a daily struggle in all of our lives. We don't have the Asherah poles. We don't have the Baals. We have the internet, we have television, we have money, cars, whatever it is that you can insert as a false god, okay? And that's what I would tell you today is be very careful, be very strong as it comes to temptations into other gods. And basically anything that you put before God is a false god. If you worship it, if you seek after it more than you would our Lord and Savior, that's a false god. And can I just tell you, you're in good company, because the Israelites, however many years ago, did the same thing that we do today. And He still loves you. He still loved them. But He has very stern words for you. And Joshua is imparting them. He says, hold fast. Don't let go. Grip onto it as tight as you can. I think the Greek word or Hebrew word is dekamai. It's hold and don't let go. Just squeeze as hard as you can and hold on and don't let go to the Lord. Because when you start to let go, you start to loosen your grip, space comes between there. And as space is created, it's easier and easier to get farther and farther away. And that might look like you sleep in on a Sunday, you don't go to Sunday school. And you're normally a Sunday school goer. And this Sunday, you know what? You were up until 1 o'clock, whatever. The kid was sick. So you slept in. And then next week, you're like, that was kind of nice. I got another hour of sleep. God doesn't mind. I still went to church, right? Showed up at 10:30 like the rest of 10 o'clock. That's my plug. Right? So you slept in a little bit. So now you slept in, and then, oh, you know what? I had that one thing to do, so I can't go to church this Sunday. I will make it the next three. But then you don't. And then, oh, I made two out of four Sundays. And then next thing you know, you're down to zero out of four Sundays. You might make once a quarter. That's how easy it is for that space to get in and for you to slip away. And Joshua is telling us, hold fast, even when it's hard. Hold fast. Let's go on down to 9. It says, the Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you, just as He has promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. So now He tells them to be very careful to do something else. The first one is be very careful to obey. This one's be very careful to love the Lord your God. And He tells them, but if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of this nation that remain among you and you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your back and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Right? So he says, you have a choice there, and if you don't, just know there's a punishment. And it doesn't, thorns in your eyes, this does not sound fun to me. Whips on my back, snares, traps, all that just makes me think bad. Right? And I think that's what he's trying to impart to him. He says, it's going to be bad. And now I am about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. He says, I'm getting ready to die. But I want you to see every promise God has promised you has been fulfilled. I was watching this YouTube video. And I didn't think it was necessarily about religion. It was actually about chickens. My wife's from Kentucky, y'all. So anyway, this guy gets on there and you know, he's talking about chickens, and then he goes like completely on this tangent. And he said, you know what? God promised me He would take better care of me than those chickens. He says, you know what? God says that He will provide my needs. He goes, you know where we mess up? We think he's going to provide our wants. But he's promised to provide our needs. This guy says, you know what? I have shelter, and my kids have food, and I have food, and we have some clothes. And he said, consider these chickens. Wouldn't he take better care of me than they? And you know, and he quoted the scripture, and I just thought that was really neat. That what an attitude to have. Just remember that what's God promised you? He promised you he was probably going to be a little tough on this earth, didn't he? But he promised he'd always be with you, didn't he? Yeah. He said, and lo, I'm with you. Jesus says that in Matthew. He says, I'm with you everywhere you go. I want to cash in on that promise. And just know that that's fulfilled. He's not going to make a promise that he's not going to fulfill. The only promise he hasn't fulfilled yet is coming back. Right? That's the last one, and I can't wait. I'm so excited. And I'm just going to stand up here and preach until he does. But not today. Unless he wants to come today. And then I'm ready. If y'all ain't ready, let's talk real quick. Right? Just think about the promises God has made us. He promised you an inheritance. He promised you the gift of salvation. He promised these people land. He promised them that he would fight for them. He promised us the same thing, that he would fight for us. Look at 15. But just as every good promise of the Lord your God has come true, so the Lord will bring on you all the evil he has threatened until he has destroyed you from his good land he has given you. I almost wanted to skip that one. You know, because I got all excited. I was going to talk about God's promises. And then I looked at it and said, oh, yeah. He did promise discipline. Right? And he promised these people, if you depart from my law left or right, there's going to be some problems. So let's avoid those. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, with which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you. Guys, we serve a jealous God. He is a jealous God. He is the only God. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other beside me. Right? It just seems simple, but as we go through this life, as we go through a materialistic life, especially now, it is very easy to put things before God. And I would tell you, it maybe not even materialistic, but sometimes we put our time and we don't devote it to the Lord as we should. You know, a lot of you know that I lost a bunch of weight before. And I always thought it was funny because people would say, well, I don't have time to exercise, or I don't have time to go to the gym or whatever. I'm like, you know, if it's important to you, you'll make time. The same thing is true with the Lord. If it's important to you, you'll make time. And in Sunday school, I know we've been talking about quiet time and scheduling that. And whatever that looks like for you, I'm not going to talk about it too much, but you have to have a scheduled time. It's like a meeting or an appointment. Just think of it that way. You wouldn't break an appointment with your boss because you'd get fired, right? So think about, I'm going to make an appointment with the Lord, and I don't want him to fire me, so I'm going to do it because I need to. And then eventually that habit will turn into I want to, I need to, I have to. It's a desire, right? Kind of what Paul was talking about. You know, look at that attitude. Do you have to, or do you get to? We get to wake up each and every day. Some of us just praise God for that in itself, because someone somewhere didn't. Someone somewhere did not wake up this morning, but we did. And what are we going to do with that time? And Joshua is just warning against using it for things that will perish, and using that time for materialistics or anything that's not devoted to the Lord. So flip over. We're going to go to 24 now. I wasn't going to preach on 24 because if you've been here long enough, you've heard this. The very first sermon of the year was Joshua 24. It was about having resolve and your resolve that you have. And I debated back and forth and said, I don't want to talk about it twice in a year, but at the same time, the Lord brought it to my attention that when he repeats himself, it's important. So we're going to repeat ourselves again just a little bit here. I'm going to catch you up, though. We're not going to read it all. Basically, that was Joshua 23, what we just did. That was Joshua's speech to his leaders, to the elders, to all those that he's kind of priming for to take over. You know, he told them, I'm dying. I'm going to die. Here's what we need to do. So now that they've talked, he's called everyone together, all of Israel, right? So everyone's together now. It's not just the leaders or the key officials. Now it's everyone, all of Israel. And this is Joshua's last address to the people. And I want to start at 14, and we'll go down a little bit here. And it says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped before the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served before the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. He says, now is the time to decide. Pick right now. Who are you going to serve? And he goes back and he says, remember your forefathers, they served other gods. They served the Amorite gods, and they served the other lord or the other gods before. Are you going to serve them, or are you going to serve our God? And he says, I don't really have time for you to decide, because just let me tell you what's going to happen in my house. It doesn't matter what you all do, because at my house we're going to serve the Lord. And I pray that's how you feel. I pray that you have that resolve. I pray that you can boldly say that to whoever would ask you, who do you serve? I serve the Lord. For me and my house, we serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord, because he is our God. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. It's almost like Joshua says, okay, I hear you, but you're not able to do it. So just don't even try. You know, it's kind of testing how they're going to respond. Because, you know, most people, they say, oh, I want to do this. And say, you can't do that. Well, okay, if I won't try. Right? But no, that's not how they respond. They said, no. There's an exclamation point in my Bible. And he says, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem, he drew up for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. He made a covenant for them. And I haven't done very much covenant study with you guys, but covenants are pretty important. That's a promise. That's more than a, God, if you get me through this, I promise I'll go to church Sunday. No, this is a, I promise you, I'm going to serve you with all my life. I've thrown away all my other gods. I've given up everything else. I am going to serve you. That's what they've said. Can you say the same thing? Can you say, no matter what is going on in my life, I am going to serve you? Can you say, God, I really want that $5, but I'm going to give it to you. You know it's the last $5 I have. I'm going to give it to you. Can you say, God, I don't know what you're doing here, and I'm scared, but I'm going to give you this situation. And can you be a witness like that to other people? When people bring trouble, does anybody ever bring trouble to you all? Are you ever on the other end of a phone, of one of those phone calls? Can you just serve God in that situation? Can you just say, you know what, let's just pray. Let's just take a second. Let's just pray. Can you be that bold? I know that's unacceptable, socially unacceptable right now. Even if they know you're a Christian, it's socially unacceptable. Can you do that with boldness? Can you say, I'm just going to throw everything else away and I'm going to serve the Lord? I'm not telling you go sell your house and go be a missionary. You don't have to do that to serve the Lord. There's lots of opportunities to serve the Lord. But can you find your way and do it not as a burden, but as a joy? Cheerfully serve the Lord. It's funny. I taught children Sunday school this morning. A little rusty on that one. But anyhow, we talked about what it would look like to serve God in the school. And I didn't really know how much I was going to hit on serving today, so I wasn't all that prepared to talk to them about it. But they've opened my eyes, just out of the mouth of babes, right? Man, they had great examples of way they could serve. And one of them said, you know, when I'm at school and someone's sad, I try to pay more attention to that person. And what they did, what they said was, or what I heard was, I try to show them the love of God. I don't know that their mind could process that, but that's what they were doing. They said, I want to show them love. I want to show them grace. Or I want to pray for someone at school. I want to do... And so if the children are on board, are you? And if you are, it's good to say, because the Israelites said, yeah, we got it. And Joshua says, you can't do that. And I want to hear a resounding, you don't have to say it out loud, but just, yes, I'm ready to serve. Whatever that looks like. Because the alternative is fruitless. Wisest man in the world said it's meaningless. Meaningless. All of it's meaningless. So this morning, I want you guys to think about, if you could say something to you 10 years ago, what would you say? What would you tell you? What would you tell you about life now? What would you tell you about that life-changing situation? I would tell me, quit running. He's going to get you. Right? Quit running from God. He's going to get you to do what he wants you to do. That's what I would tell me 10 years ago. I would have 15 years of ministry in by now if I would have listened to me then. But I didn't. So here I am. And why I want you to do that is I want you to be mindful of the victories God has won for you. And I want you to be able to share that with other people. I want you to be able to look at the next generation coming up and say, guys, this is, God is good. And here's why. Yeah, we went through some crummy situations, but he always brought us through it. He was always right there with us as we traveled through it. Right? That's another thing. I gleaned so much from this YouTube video, and I'm just going to keep sharing. His wife got really, really sick. And the doctors told him that she was brain dead and that he should pull the plug. But, you know, he didn't. He went down and prayed. But he was very, very angry when he prayed. You know, he told God, I don't know what you're doing. And if you think you're taking my wife, you got another thing coming. And, you know, he's very, very upset with the Lord. And she was in a Catholic hospital, and one of the nuns came by, and she said, son, are you angry with God? And he says, yes, ma'am, I sure am. She winked at him and said, he can take it. Right? But then later that evening, he said he had a dream, and he dreamt he was just kind of in nothingness, and Jesus appeared to him and didn't say a word, but just gave him a hug. And he said his life was changed by a dream where Jesus came to him and hugged him. And he said he felt God saying, "Shh, I'm with you. I'm here." Now, this man chose YouTube to share his stories. I don't know what you all are going to choose. I'm not a YouTube fanatic. Just so happen to be looking up raising chickens because I'm going to get some land and I like chickens. Right? But look what the Lord did through that. Just think about every situation in your life. My goodness, it's so easy to just witness and share and to encourage someone else. You have to say, yes, you'll do it, though. You have to be willing to serve, whatever the cost. And that's what Joshua was, and that's what he encouraged his people to do. And I pray that that's how we will respond with a resounding yes. We will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, God, we thank you for... thank you for using us, broken, worthless sinners. God, I thank you for using us for your glory, for your work, for your will. Lord, I pray that you encourage us, that you would uplift us, that you would equip us for service, as each and every one of us has a different part to play, a different role in the body. Lord, I pray that as you put that calling on us, that we would say yes. And our yes would be a yes. That we would just do it out of joy for your will, for your glory. Lord, I thank you for those that have gathered around here this morning, and I just pray a special blessing over each and every one of us, God. I just pray that you will speak to us and continue to let us feel your presence in our lives. In the good and in the bad. God, as always, I thank you for Jesus, and I lift this prayer up in his name. Amen. This morning, the elders and I are going to be down here in the front, just willing to pray with you, to uplift you, to encourage you. I would love for you to come and tell me what God's been doing in your life. I would love to share in your joy or your pains. But we're here for you. We're here to pray with you. Whatever you need, we're here. So the praise team is going to sing another song, and we'll be up here for you.